Welcome to the We Are TR podcast. Listen as we talk about what brings us all to this great town. Enjoy.
Hey guys, and welcome to the We Are TR podcast. I'm Brandon, along with Lacey, and today's episode is brought to you by Cope & Crew.
Yeah, Cope & Crew. They are landscaping. Used to be only landscaping. Now it's hardscapes. So basically, if you have a lawn or a house and you want anything done, from concrete driveway to sidewalks to trees, shrubs, I mean, you name it.
Yeah, I think they can do pretty much everything.
Yeah, and they're super nice people.
Yep, check them out on all their socials and their website, copeandcrew.com.
Yep.
So, Lacey, you buying or selling anything this week?
Okay, I actually thought of that today, and I'm buying popcorn. It's simple, but it's been my favorite little snack lately, and not just any popcorn. Like, I like the popcorn, like, there's this brand. It's kind of a, you know, everyone loves to name their brands fun things, but it's called Lesser Evil. They sell it, like, you know, at the grocery store.
Like healthy popcorn?
Kind of. It's, like, just a little bit sweet and a little bit salty at the exact same time.
Shouldn't popcorn by itself just be healthy? Because it's just corn, right?
You're right.
Corn and oil.
And it's delicious. And I think the oil is what matters. This is made in, like, coconut oil, and that's, I think, what gives it that little bit of sweet. Anyway, I'm loving it lately. Ate almost a whole bag myself.
Yeah, we went to Tennessee this weekend. We had, like, this big, giant, like, 5-gallon bag of popcorn. We ate like all of it.
Yeah, well, you do have a lot of children.
Yeah, it was good though. It was really good. So I'm gonna buy also pumpkin. I'm buying everything pumpkin.
Okay.
I love pumpkin spice.
Do you really?
My basic white girl's coming out. I love it. I love it all.
Oh, pumpkin. I like pumpkin muffins, and that's not the end of my desire for pumpkin.
They used to have, pumpkin scones somewhere that was pretty good. It was a little thick. You had to kind of, like, cut it in half. But it was, it were really good. So, but today we're here with Russell Jones. Are you buying anything, selling anything?
I'm buying persimmons.
Oh, persimmons. I think I saw on Facebook you have one in your yard or something.
Yeah, two trees.
That's cool.
What do you do with a persimmon? You just eat them?
Yeah. A lot of them.
How do they cut open? Like, what are they like? What's the texture?
We have two different types. There's a high chia and the fuyus. The ones that grow natural down here are a lot smaller. These get as big as a big tomato.
Okay.
And some of the hachias are as juicy and luscious as a big tomato, but they're sweet. And the fuyus have a little bit more apple type texture to them, but they're sweet. And my wife makes stuff with them.
Want to bring us any?
Yeah.
I did not, but I could make. I could arrange it. We got them coming out of our ears.
I don't know if I've ever had one.
I don't know that I've ever ate one either.
I know. We're having to try it for sure.
Anyway.
Yeah.
I'm not buying them. I'm just going out and picking them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, introduce yourself. Tell us a little bit about yourself, what you do.
Oh, boy.
Jump right in.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, my name is Russell Jones, and I've been in travel dress for 2.5 years. And my wife and I came down from up north, and we came down to assimilate, not to bring any of our ways that are practiced up there, and hopefully contribute to the community. And so I do a number of different things. I write. I'm a strength athlete. I do live presentations, a number of different things I guess we'll get to as we go along. And I stand by my mailbox and wave to everybody.
Do you really?
Well, when you get to my age, you know, the big 7-0, that's something that you do.
You and
it's great
mailbox.
Down here because people actually wave back.
Yeah, you know, true.
So
we wave back.
That's a lot of fun. So just smile and wave.
Yeah. Well, it's neat. So we recently done an article together and talked about, like, your strongman shows and events, which I don't know if you had a chance to read that or not. But as a strongman, when we met, you talked about how that kind of brings people in. But what you're most passionate about is combining, like, multiple generations. So let's talk for a minute about, like, maybe first you can tell us what a strongman is. And then about how you're using that to meet both, like, grandparents and kids and, like, pulling families together.
Okay.
That's a lot of questions right there, right? So first, strongman, and then how you're using it.
So the strongman thing was just a mere happenstance. 39 years old, and I was basically an old basketball player. Keyword there being old, you know, with kids. And there was an event, and you wrote about it a bit, when I got invited to come up and help this guy break a stack of bricks. And it was 2-inch thick bricks, and there was 9 of them, so it was 18 inches of concrete. Minimal instructions, no warm-ups, no let's try it first before there's a live audience of screaming people.
Put you right on the spot, huh?
Totally. And that's when that changed my prayer life at that point. Because there was a serious fear, especially, you know, I was afraid about breaking my arm. Afraid it was going to be very, very painful, and I don't like pain. And then I was afraid, too, I was just going to embarrass myself. And, you know, as they carried me out to the local hospital, you know, because the bricks weren't going to break. And so so that was like my initiation and seeing the audience's response to that. And I at that point in my life, we'd just come through a couple of years before losing a child in a car crash. And so we had kind of rededicated in our parenting life and really getting into it in ways that I never anticipated as a dad. You know, we thought we were super parents anyway, reading and doing all kinds of stuff. And so I knew I had a message, that stuff I was learning, but then I'm like, what's some old? And even then I felt like I was an old guy. You know, who cares, you know? So anyway, this just seemed like an avenue to open audiences up. And initially it was just kids, but then I had an opportunity to speak to parents, and one of my mentors in speaking said, well, you know, do the same thing. I said, parents are going to, you know, bend and break and tear things. Why do they care? And no, just do it, you know, do it, brought, you know, what got you here? So I did it, and the parents loved it too. So,
yeah.
So that was my foray. I got a mentor back in the day before the internet was a big deal. And a guy out of Houston, Texas, Dennis Rogers, pound for pound, one of the strongest men that ever lived. And I was his first student, and he mentored me. And just for my body type and my abilities, you know, I had practice, but I put together a series of feats. So I don't compete or anything like that. I don't do strongman competitions or anything like that. So, but anyway, that was my start.
Yeah.
So it was kind of interesting.
Well, did you break the bricks?
I did.
First time?
I did. Yeah. Yes, sir. And and that was a powerful moment for me, because I was trying to be cool. Lacey wrote about it. I was trying to be cool about it and not be super surprised, but I was kind of like, oh my God. And they make so much noise when, like, on the stage, the platform, like, not only, you know, the breaking of them, but then they come down and like the noise of the stage and everything shaking and everything. You're like, oh my goodness, what did I just do?
I just did that.
And, but I think, you know, we all have an amazing amount of strength that God just gives us. You know, and we've always heard the story, right, about the lady who's, you know, the car or something rolls over the kid or something like that, and the woman lifts the car.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think we have that type of superhuman strength, but I think, you know, we're limiting ourselves in a lot of ways, in so many areas of our life. So, So it's been an interesting trip.
Yeah, it's really neat. And I think it's neat how you've then taken that and used it to pull families together. And so you offer a course, right? So people can, like, go online and buy a course that's like, but it's not necessarily a wellness course. How would you describe the course?
Yeah, so we started doing the presentations in camps and youth groups and things like that, morphed into schools. And then in 99, somebody said, you need to write a book. So we just outlined the presentation that we were doing, and we just put it into a book form. And the format was for parent and child to work together. And at the time, I forget how many segments there were, but and it was pretty popular. We went around and we did live presentations, and we did back of the room sales. So over the course of the next couple of years, we sold about 4,000 copies of Top Secrets of Success for Kids. And but that was just kind of a period of life. And then I kind of moved on. The economy crashed in 2007. You two are too young to remember these things. But anyway, that's what happened.
And I remember that. Yeah.
And so all the money that, you know, that we were getting paid to speak dried up. So then we just said, okay, it's time to move on to something else. So I I flipped it into a clinic and doing other things. And then when COVID hit, I'm sitting up north, and I mean, New Jersey was shut down completely. Nobody was going anywhere. And so I'm sitting at my computer, and I'm like, what am I going to do the rest of my life? And my son-in-law reminded me of the book from 99, and he said, Dad, you should make it into a video course. And I'm like, okay, what's that?
I didn't know what a video course was.
So anyway, over the course of the next, so many months, I added a lot of segments to it. So it starts with a dream and a vision, a purpose for your life. I'm talking to 10 to 15 year olds, but I'm also bringing parents into it so that they can understand the process. There's goal setting, there's people skills, there's how to make a friend anywhere in the world, there's how to become the world's greatest student, which I wasn't, things I had to learn. And they're all in, in it. There's a workbook that goes with the new course, but we didn't have the video course. So we moved down here, and that's another whole story how we got here. And one of our neighbors out back is a former videographer for Congress for 20-something years.
Convenient.
Very. And the other guy out back introduced me to him. And so he came over and recorded 60 daily sessions, with Blaze, my faithful sidekick dog, my American Bulldog.
Yeah.
And and here we are, so it's... that's the course.
Yeah. And so people can find that online. They can go online.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. Okay, let's circle back to how you got to TR then, because you're living in New Jersey, and we're just down here in Traveler's Rest. How'd you hear about us? How'd you get here?
Okay. COVID shuts my business down.
Okay.
My wife is a nurse by training. She's working in the senior community, and she, a lot of the senior nurses, their husbands aren't letting them go to work because they're afraid of getting COVID.
Hmm.
So she's working doubles. We're not particularly afraid. We're supplementing and doing, what we think is the right thing to do. And we're like, this is really no way to live. But all our kids were out of state already, doing different things. One had retired. And the one had retired actually to down by Charleston. And so we said, well, let's get out of Jersey because nobody's coming back. Taxes, politics, traffic, nobody's coming back. Real estate. And so anyway, put our house up for sale, sold in 4 days. My mom is in Raleigh area, and she had just had a stroke. And we figured, well, we'll move in with her because my sisters were caring for her. And so here we come with those pods, and yep. We got everything. We packed up. 37 years we lived up in the mountains of Jersey.
Oh, goodness.
And we just moved in with my mom, and I'm sitting there, and we're caring for her and everything, because it was one of those strokes where she had needed 24/7 care. And so I'm sitting there, and I'm like, okay, I'm 67 years old, I'm living with my mom, and it's like, it's one of those HMO things, or whatever they call them, not HMO, homeowners things, where there's all these restrictions.
Oh, yeah,
we have our two dogs that are used to just running and being free and going swimming and everything else, and they're on a leash, and and it's like, oh goodness gracious. So anyway, financially, I didn't want to live near the beach, but a financial guy that was helping my mom said, hey, why don't you go down to Greenville? So I said, okay, where's that? No offense, but I never heard of Greenville. South of the Mason-Dixon.
I haven't. Everybody else seems to have found it.
Yeah, and once we got here, we were hoping they just shut the door. So anyway, he had gone to school up in Boone, Appalachian. I forget the name of the school.
Appalachian State. Yeah.
And he ran track, and he used to come down here. I guess competing, and
then
when he got out of school, he said, he'd bring his family down here if they ever, want to get away or anything like that. Come down to Greenville. There's all kinds of stuff happening. So we came down to Greenville and met a realtor, and she brought us up to Farmhouse Tacos.
Oh yeah.
Sits down and she says, Greenville is the friendliest city in America, and so I pulled out a Jersey thing right away. I'm going, yeah, right. And so. She goes, no, really. I said, all right. And so join hands and pray, which is not a normal thing to do in public up in New Jersey, and sharing our testimony at Farmhouse Tacos. And the last house she showed us was where we are now, in Little Texas Road, and here we are. And he said, the serendipity was, okay, the sunsets are great, seeing the Blue Ridge Mountains, all this stuff, but they told us about our neighbors. They said, oh, across the street is Marvin and Vicky, they got the horses, and then next door is AJ and Jen, they got, you know, a couple of young kids, and next door is Steve and B, and they got, you know, whatever's going on with their life. They're from up north originally, and Outback's a pastor. So I'm like, okay.
That's a good lineup.
So we move in and we're meeting everybody. I mean, that's been the best thing. And we meet the pastor out back, talks to us for about a half an hour, tells us about all the great churches in the area, Clearview Baptist, this church.
That's where I go, yeah.
And he's just talking about all this stuff. And he says that my neighbor across the way is a videographer for, you know, the Mainers, Doug and Gail. And so, but I got really suspicious of this pastor guy because he didn't tell us his church. So I was
sounds
like,
about right.
You know, so I'm gonna catch somebody here. So anyway, we looked the guy up and we ran over to his church, and we've been going there ever since. So, but anyway, we're just really thankful we're here. And then, you know, spring, we looked at the place just before Christmas 2.5 years ago, and we moved in February. And it's just wintertime. You don't see anything, trees or anything. And then all of a sudden stuff comes up. It's like, wait a minute, we got these blueberry bushes, you know, and we're out there picking blueberries. Oh, wait, there's two fig trees in the back, and we're picking figs. And
that's
there's
kind
an
of
apple
exciting.
Tree.
Figs and percent, you know, a good place.
Well, the fall is, and they come like, it's whoever put these trees together, like in the fall, like persimmons are same color as pumpkins. So it's a fall fruit. So they're coming in, you know, I mean now. So
yeah.
Anyway, it's just been awesome. So
that's so fun that you have.
And
all
then we met Lacey.
Things. That's right. Yeah, we actually go to the same church.
It sounded like he was meant to be here.
Yeah, for sure.
I hope we can contribute. That's all.
Yeah, no, I think you're doing fabulous. So before we get to our little funny questions that we always ask, I want to give you a chance. And I wanted our listeners to be able to hear about. The ways in which you do combine, like, or why it matters even to do the intergenerational. Like, because you talked about, like, appealing to both, or knowing both grandparents, kids, parents, you know, all these age ranges. What are some ways that the Strongman events or that your work, your speaking kind of does that? And what's your vision for that?
Yeah, so the course was finished about almost 2 years ago. And I was connecting with people outside of the area because there's a California group that's supposed to be helping me market and everything. And then I wasn't really connecting with moms and dads. They're all busy running around doing stuff. And a couple of people, older folks, like where we go to church, there's like 250 people in the seniors group. And their grandparents, and there's all these conversations going on, like how can, you know, seeing how the world is, how can we help our kids and our grandkids, other than, you know, birthday presents, Christmas presents, and babysitting sometimes, you know?
Yeah.
And so then, you know, and more conversations developed, and so we said, you know, there's a way that we can make this connection really work, but we also have to work out the connection between me as a grandparent and my child, who's now in their 30s or 40s, whatever, because there's some challenges there, right? Mm-hmm. Because they remember how things were when they were kids. So we have to work on those relationships. But there's a powerful time in a kid's life between 12 and 15 when if they have a relationship with their grandparent, a positive one, that they're more apt to talk to their grandparent about a situation than they are their own parents. Mm. So you really want everybody on the same page, as much on the same page as possible, okay? And we have at our church, we have some people that are like kind of surrogate grandparents, you know, for families that don't, you know, they're displaced, misplaced, or grandparents have gone on to be with the Lord already.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, so that's kind of bringing it all together. And then I was going to do them separately, but we had done a few family events with parents and kids up north years ago. And I said, well, you know, we can make this all happen together, you know, 10 to 15 year olds, moms and dads and grands.
Yeah.
And the course is something that the grands could work on the with the kids. You know, mom and dads are too busy, quote unquote. It's only 5 to 8 minutes a day, and they can actually do it from a distance, right? You can be on two devices in two separate places and work with the kid, you know. So anyway, so there's all this, you know, connectivity and stuff that I think can come about. So I'm fired up about it.
Yeah, I think it's fantastic. Yeah.
You still doing live events still, or is it just the video course?
Yes, sir.
So where do you do those at? Like churches, I'm assuming.
I think Cleary, I feel like I mentioned that to you, that Cleary I think would be a good, because if you're like a big Awanas program, I feel like it'd be a good fit there.
Yeah, yeah, we might get to talk to Chandler about that, get you in, maybe.
Yeah, we've done, since I've been down here, we did a homeschool association event, and we did a couple of senior events. You know, I have another book I wrote, Sick and Tired of Being Sick and Tired, Solutions for a Better, Healthier Life. And
I need to read that.
But, yeah, I think you'd like it.
But anyway, but I did a health and wellness thing talk, which is not, I don't get too fired up about that, because I've been, you know, in the training world for a lot of years, and I think everybody's an expert, and everybody, you know, everybody knows everything about health and nutrition and what to do at the gym. So unless somebody really asks me, you know, I don't really try, I don't promote that too much. You know, I gave this health and wellness seminar, and people go, you eat what? You take what? You know, and
but the success is, look, I mean, did you say what? You were 70 or no, is that what you are now? 70? Yeah, I mean, you look 70. Fantastic. You're fit. You can do all these things. I mean, I think that speaks for itself.
Yeah,
right?
For sure. Like, yeah. What kind of things are you, I mean, not giving away the whole thing, but what kind of, like, you like tearing phone books apart, or like,
so the basics,
lifting the dumbbell, you know, then it's bending and
right. So the start is always to take a 60 penny spike, 60 penny nail, bare hands, with a couple little washcloths to protect your hands a little bit, and you got to be able to bend that in half. So I'll bring someone up from the audience to try to do that. All right, that's the first thing.
Do you believe you can do it, Brandon?
I'd give it a go.
I bet you would.
Yeah. And that's a lot of fun, because I mean, you look like you're a pretty strong guy. So, and I've had like, I mean, at weightlifting meets over the years, I've done shows with these giant guys come up, and I'll have them try to do it, but the pain right here in your hands, or the force that you have to apply, is so intense. It doesn't matter, you can bench press 600 pounds, it doesn't matter, it's a whole different type of strength. So but that's fine, I'd love you to try it.
Yeah, let's do this.
And then we'll tear a deck of cards, and then we'll quarter them
with your hands.
Then we'll
I mean, is there like tricks you learn, or you just, this is bare four? I mean, I don't want to give it all away.
No, you're still giving it away. Unfortunately, that's the mentor I got in with, Dennis Rogers. He, pound for pound, but he's a little guy. If you ever saw Dennis in his prime, he was probably 155 pounds. But the stuff he did was just off the charts. But Dennis, there was no magic to it. It was, everything had to be real. Like, you'll see guys bending spikes, you go online, and they got these wraps, like these big like wraps that come out. So it's like handles that they're putting on a spike. Dennis is like, no, we don't do it that way. You can just use a little washcloth, and that's all you get. And so there's no tricks to it. That's the whole thing. There's no tricks. I mean, there's a little technique, but I'll show you when you know, we can do it, you know, after we're done, I'll show you the technique. But, you know, when plastic is tearing into your flesh, that doesn't feel good either, you know. So,
I mean, I don't want to brag, but I have broke a few apples in half with my bare hands.
I never have even done that.
That's good. But then we'll roll up a frying pan into what I call a burrito maker.
Wow.
That's got to get expensive.
Yeah, not too
bad.
Five for Goodwill. Yeah, family dollar. And I'll take a can of seltzer and squeeze that till it explodes.
Oh, that's just a waste.
And, stuff like, you know,
so I don't, bad seltzer. Yeah. That's what you don't want.
You can't get the bricks anymore. They're just not available, the size that we used to use and everything. But we use boards now. So we had, the karate guys break, you know, they'll break a board. So, because I was trying to figure out, in lieu of bricks, what can we break? So Dennis came up with this idea of boards. So we'll take the karate boards, which are like 3/4 inches thick, but instead of doing 1 or 2 or 3, I do 6.
Oh, wow.
And that's kind of cool, but it's not as dramatic as the bricks, but it's still, you know, kind of cool. And I'll screw them together so that if I hand it to you to check it out, it's, what is that, about 4.5 inches of wood that you're breaking. So stuff like that. You could do it. And then at the end is always the great one, is at the end I have, you put a couple of blocks on my stomach while I'm laying across two chairs face up, and we'll give you the sledgehammer, and you'll bust it. So it's fun, and some of the stuff is looks harder than it is, but some of the stuff is really hard. But not setting world records, but most of the time the audience can't do what we're able to do.
Yeah, very cool. The sledgehammer thing feels a little scary. I'm not gonna lie. I don't think I like that.
You should lay down.
I'd just be afraid somebody would miss.
Yeah, exactly. Of course.
My wife gives the warning. They ask people if they have glasses. She makes sure she takes them off and cleans them. And she does the whole thing.
That's funny. Your wife is fabulous. All right, so we always ask these truly random questions at the end that have maybe nothing to do with anything, but we're going to try it. So let's see. First one is, what's your earliest childhood memory? Have we done that one?
I think we have.
What's your earliest childhood memory?
I remember the snowstorm back in like 89 or something.
I don't know.
Around here, it was like Snowmageddon. It was a blizzard.
And how old would you have been?
4.
Okay.
I don't know. That's just like the earliest thing I can remember, I think.
I know it's hard. I do remember I was...
I just remember like playing outside in the snow with my dad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I must have been 3. My earliest memory is falling out. I had to be about 3 because my brother was a newborn and he took my crib. So maybe I was 2. And I had to go to the upper bunk bed. And I fell out of it and have I still have a scar where I fell and had to get stitches. And that my earliest memory is getting stitches at the hospital. It's the first thing I can really remember.
I don't know. If the world was...
Was the world still in black and white?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, it's funny. My kids say stuff like that. Like, was the world in black and white? Like,
that's really pretty cute,
I actually remember thinking that way, too. So it's pretty funny.
Black and white.
And then they said, did y'all... back in the 90s when y'all used to take trains everywhere.
Yeah.
Like, the 90s.
When you were living in the prairie.
No, I guess it was just... We were living with my grandmother and grandfather on a place called Farm Road in Secaucus, New Jersey. And I remember I was really little. I was walking, and there was a girl that lived next door. And my grandmother was walking with us to the steps, and there was this big milk snake that was walking across. For some reason, I don't know why that just popped into my head, because I haven't thought of that in forever. And my grandmother said, "Oh."
It's funny, the memories are just buried somewhere in there, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. What's, in your opinion, the best age to get married? That's an impossible question, but sure. What's the best age to get married?
I mean, if you
nothing know, with a yeah. teen on the end of it, in my opinion. No,
I mean, if
Brandon.
As long as you're 18.
No teen.
As long as you know.
You wait till your daughter asks if she can get married at 18, and see how you feel about that.
We'll see.
Mm, okay.
I told her she can't date till 17, so we'll
see. My dad told me I couldn't date until I got married. So I was like, wait, I don't understand what you mean.
I mean, but I don't know if you know, I think, right?
I don't know. What do you know when you're 18?
Well, nothing.
Yeah, what do you think, Russell? You got thoughts?
Yeah, I'm going to pass on that one. That would break into another really long story, and we don't have time for that right now.
I do feel like, I think you really can't pick one age, obviously. But, I don't know, I feel like in your 20s it's good. I don't know.
I got married at 23.
I think I was 23 also, or 22 or 23, something like that. Yeah. How old were you when you got married? 12.
18.
Pass on that one.
You're not gonna tell us how old we got married? Okay, a mystery. All right, we'll have a more.
Well, I was 27 when I married Lynn.
Oh, but she was 12. Just kidding.
First edit ever.
Wait a minute. Maybe I was
26. You're right. We've never edited. Sorry, guys.
Sorry.
All right. We'll just move along. After finishing cereal, do you drink the milk? This is actually a big debate in our house right now. Do you drink the milk when you finish
cereal?
Yes.
Of course, yes. Unless you're going for another bowl, then you pour that in.
Right,
and
which is
refill
actually
the milk.
Bowl.
Yeah, because then you got more milk, cereal milk.
Yeah, and it's like crisp right away.
Yeah
I do. Yeah, especially the good raw milk we're able to get.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no, I'm thinking Cinnamon Toast Crunch, like...
That is just...
Y'all are, like, eating healthy over here.
Well, you can still have the raw milk with Cinnamon Toast Crunch. But it works out. It balances.
Yeah, I was just talking about the milk.
Yeah.
I was giving you the choice on a cereal.
Well, I have one daughter who thinks that you don't. She just, like, when she's done with her cereal, she just wants to, like, ditch the milk. And we're all like, no! I know.
It's a waste of good milk.
That's what we all say. But no one wants to drink someone else's cereal.
Yeah,
milk.
No, that's gross.
Yeah, it is gross. Yeah. I don't know why, but it is.
Because it's milk and it's just...
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't like drinking milk by itself, though, either. So, that's weird, maybe.
I don't either. No. I don't like milk, actually.
No, yeah.
It's too thick.
I grew up on a dairy farm and it pains my dad, but I do not care for milk. I don't think it tastes good. I know.
The raw stuff, though, is...
I don't know if I've ever drunk raw milk.
Really?
I would try it.
Oh, it's down here at Little Texas Grocery. It's for sale.
Oh, really?
You should buy some.
I actually walked in there the first time about a week ago.
We go to Little Texas Grocery kind of a lot. Because it's on the route home.
Yeah, they have some really good pretzels in there.
They do. And they actually, I mean, their hot dog is fantastic. And they have barbecue from like a...
Mike and Jeff's.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah. It's really good.
Probably need to go in there more.
And then you get your gallon of milk.
Give it a shot.
Yeah.
All right. Well, if people want to look you up online, you got a website or a Instagram, Facebook, TikToks.
Yeah. How do we find you?
How do we find you?
Yeah. RussellJonesSpeaks.com. I just, you know, ran this thing up. Let's Connect TR for moms and dads and grands. Just to encourage and equip. I just want to pass along the thing, and I appreciate you saying it before about, you know, opportunity to advance, you know, anywhere in TR and beyond. If anybody needs just a phone call, the sick and tired stuff, I mean, sometimes people are looking to put their health and wellness puzzle together. You know, I've just been blessed. I'm 70. I'm not on any lifetime meds or anything like that. I don't train all the time, but there are certain things to take care of your structure and everything else that are really important, which is not walking up and down the street, especially when the street is slanted. Young athletes, I'm working with a young TR kid that wants to be a pro baseball player, and just on their physiology, you know, getting really, really strong. So I have, I can talk to people about that. And sometimes we just work out deals where I'm not just looking to make money. Sometimes you just, you know, help us with the gardening or something like that.
Yeah.
we have a free book that came out a couple months ago called I Did the Best I Could. If you go to the website and you click on the book, I think there's a free offer for the book. And
oh, cool.
I did the best I could, and that's kind of my thing about, you know, as a parent, somebody asked me to put it together. It's a small book, but it's people really enjoy some of the stories and stuff and everything. And that's all. I would love for some local TR folks to come alongside me in this giant project that we have. And business minds, marketing gurus, social media experts, agents, and, you know, Lacey's probably my first choice, but she's so busy I probably can't get her. But anyway,
it's,
and then just
be traveling somewhere.
Oh my word!
Don't forget, I'm the smiling, gray-haired, white-haired man by the mailbox.
Waving on Little Texas Road. That might get you some guests.
All right, Lacey, that's where it. We find you at?
Travelers Rest here. All the things.
All right, you find me at Tim's Mobile Detailing on all the things. Thanks, this was fun. I hadn't really enjoyed it.
Thanks for coming. Thanks to our sponsor again, Cope and Crew.
Yeah, check them
podcast.
Out.
Yeah. Right,
thanks. Hey guys, and thanks for listening to that episode. We really hope you enjoyed it. We would like to invite you every third Tuesday of the month to the Community Tap for Trivia Night, hosted by me and Lacey from the We Are TR podcast. Come out, have fun, have a few drinks. And let's have a good time together.